Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into this team continues to just disappoint. And I'm sure Joe will have a field day on it. I feel like we talk about it every single week, and every single week I have nothing to say. And then this week, they finally lost for it. So we'll get to that. Some NFL chatter there. Turkey weekend. Turkey weekend is about getting fat, getting drunk, and watching football.
Is that not the most American holiday?
It's about as damn American as it can be. I mean, I feel like Labor Day's got a little bit of that, but it's not really football yet.
Well, 4th of July has it. You substitute the football part, though, with blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
That's pretty American.
There are no flags involved in Turkey Day. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's what it's missing.
Christmas, I wouldn't say that's an American holiday. That's a pretty worldwide holiday.
Well, Jesus is a worldwide thing, Joe.
No, Jesus was born in America. Everybody knows that.
Jesus was white.
Yeah, he was born in Kansas. Okay.
Salina, Kansas, huh?
Yeah.
From 3 to 7, Monday through Friday, here on the fan.
If Jesus was born in America, where would he be born?
It's got to be in the belt, right?
I think that question is answered depending on where you go in the country. Because he could be a liberal snowflake trying to wash people's feet and try to home people and feed them.
He's probably born in Utah.
What are my tax dollars going to, Jesus? Or he would be also shooting guns out of both hands. AK-47, actually, no, because that's a Russian gun. So you would have just two shotguns.
What does Kenny Powers say in Tropic Thunder? Mother Nature just peed herself. With two explosives in his hands.
I would like to think it would be funny if Jesus was super just like right wing, shooting guns, drinking beer, bro.
Did you ever see the movie, I think it's called Three Kings, with Marky Mark, Ice Cube, and Spike Jones?
That's going to be a no.
Desert Storm?
No.
Well, there's this thing. It's about
movie.
Yeah, it's about Desert Storm.
Michael Bay produced that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if he did.
That's during the Ice Cube State of the Union run.
Yeah, yeah. And they are...
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
And they are... they are like in Iraq and they find a bunch of gold. All right. Now there's this scene where they're talking about, you know, don't you have something at home to have something to go home to? And it cuts to Marky Mark, who works at like a Kinko's, and he like tries to open up like an ink cartridge for a giant printer and it sprays ink all over him. I don't remember what Ice Cube's is, but then it cuts to Spike Jones. He has a mullet and he's just shooting beer cans off a fence with a shotgun. And he goes, I don't really have a home life, sir. is that your Jesus?
That's Jesus.
That's your Jesus?
Yep, 100%. Mullet Jesus.
Mullet Jesus. Friday. If I would have told you, Joe, now after week one, I think it was, maybe week two in college football, when Mississippi State beat Arizona State, I went, oh, what's going on in Starksville? What's going on down there? That team's not a joke no more, are they? maybe you could have convinced me then, but there's no way I could have told you that Ole Miss Mississippi State is must-watch TV 9 a.m. on Friday.
Oh, 100%. That is going to be very similar to...
Are we even watching football?
Oh, that's a
like
drama.
Like when the game comes on? Yeah. Are we really... Are we going, you know, that Trinidad Chambliss is pretty good.
That's what makes sports so great is that the off-the-field drama can make the on-the-field product that much better. And that is a reason why people will be tuning into that game is to see within that first quarter, first half, oh my God, is Ole Miss, are these players checked out and are they losing this game because of they know that Lane is gone? This could be similar to Oregon, Utah a couple years ago when everybody knew that Miami was where Mario was going to end up at.
Yep.
And then that was a very, very sad day. Because Oregon got absolutely demolished by Utah. And was that was in the Pac-12 championship game.
Correcto mundo.
Yes, okay. Because they lost to them twice that year. And
you guys were so sad when Mario left you.
That was one of the
and
more...
And now you all hate him.
Honestly, I didn't mind Mario so much. I thought he was a if you want to get all football guy here, a classic leader of
Oh,
men.
That's what I'm saying. I think most Duck fans were stoked when Mario was
and
here.
And when I look at it, like, you got to think of it from a human being perspective. There were a lot of players on that team that Dan Lanning then ended up coaching that were like, yeah, Mario's still my guy. Like, he recruited me, and I appreciate everything he did with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them were pissed for what he did, but, you know, again, like, some of those players were still on the team that we were rooting for that he recruited and brought on, so.
This game is on ABC at 9 a.m. Are we on a Taylor Swift sort of watch of how many times? Does ESPN play into it and just keep showing Lane all day? No. It's like a play's going on, and it's just Lane standing on the sideline. They don't even show you the play.
And then they go, like, halfway through the second quarter, they go back over to Lane Kiffin, and he's just gone. Not even it's just a headset lying on the ground.
Like, is his ex-wife and kids in the stands? Huh? Do they cut to them a lot? Oh, there's his daughter. She's wearing a little purple. They're going to LSU. She's going to LSU. Dude. I see a little purple in her earrings.
Dude, I cannot wait to see what happens. I'm right there with you.
It's so sad, too, because, like, Arizona State is a ranked matchup. Texas A&M, Texas is a ranked matchup. Georgia Tech is a ranked matchup. And we only care about Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
No, I wouldn't say only, but I mean the 9 a.m. What's the other 9 a.m. game? I
think Utah, Kansas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. This is appointment television watching for college football fans. And it shouldn't be because of the matchup, but because of this storyline. Like, it is coming to a head very, very soon. And we're going to find out if Lane this week, when he's talking to the players in the locker room, he's like, well, you know, you guys just go out and play hard, and we'll see where the chips fall. And,
some of you, can come to LSU, and some of you can't.
You know, just be proud of what you've done this year, whatever happens in the future. Like, he's just doing all these, like, superlatives where you're just like, I think he's gone.
I've got an official problem with this NFL team. We'll get to that next. But first, there's Casey with sports. Closing arguments coming up next to send you on your way. Finish up here. Jumping into the NFL. Wanted to do this for a couple days and just haven't had the chance to get to it. So we'll finally get to it. If you are a listener of this program, thank you. Appreciate that. Whether you're 105.1 FM, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, or over on the YouTubes, appreciate you every time you listen. It has been no secret on this show, my disappointment in this team, especially on the offensive side. I am now officially out. I do not think they will repeat. I do not think they will go to the Super Bowl. I am officially out on the Philadelphia Eagles. Whatever is going on in that building, Nick Sirianni came out and said that offensive play calling will not change. I do not know why he would say that, because things for me are becoming absolutely unbearable to watch this team in the second half. They'll take on the Bears on Friday. Dude, I swear to you, it's going to do it again.
Keep going. I'm almost there.
Against the Cowboys, this is the Philadelphia Eagles drive chart after leading 21-0. Okay?
Oh, I'm quite familiar.
Punt, 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 missed field goal, fumble, punt.
And also, what's not included in there is a fumble on the punt return.
Yes, that Dallas should have scored a touchdown on and ended
yeah,
the game.
Let's not worry about that part. This is a segment on how bad the Eagles are, right?
I just don't understand it. And for a guy like Nick Sirianni, who is a very controversial head coach, you would think at some point he's going to get... He has to say there's something wrong in the offensive play calling. Look, the defense is keeping them in this game. Eagles go up 21-0 at halftime. Dude, if I didn't have red zone on, I would have never known that Dallas won that game. Because it's 21-0 at halftime, and I'm like, oops, see ya, click. Changing over. I'm going to go watch Shador. Like, that's what I said. That's how bad this game was. And let me tell you what. I do not want to watch Shador Sanders in any way, shape, or form play quarterback. And that's how bad this game was. Little did I know that here comes second half Philly offensive problems. A.J. Brown got the ball.
Yeah, okay. they were working it.
It's not his fault. There's nothing to bitch and moan about except for you guys suck.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is that I feel like the Eagles, just on the A.J. Brown front real quickly, is that they have to consciously get him the ball rather than it fluidly being a part of their offense.
Right.
Where and it's that's just what like, we should probably throw it to him. And so they just focus on throwing it rather than like, how about you scheme up an offense to where he is able to get open downfield rather than, I mean, he in the first part of the game had like 7 receptions for like, I don't know, 60 something yards. The week before it was 7 catches for 49. Like they're just trying to get him the ball in these short yarded situations just to be like, hey, there you go. Are you happy? You okay there, bud? And we passed it to you this many times. But it's not like they're not drawing up the route tree to get him open and Devontae Smith open and to also get Saquon Barkley more than 22 yards rushing. Like, I want to pull up his game log, Saquon Barkley, because his rushing the ball, 3.7 yards carry.
That's what I was just about to get to. Nobody is going to continuously rush for almost 2,000 yards every single year,
He has one game this year where he's ran the ball for over 100 yards.
You are not going to rush the ball for 2,000 yards every year, okay? Well, I understand that. But the greats, and I think Saquon has the talent to be a great, and this is kind of your point of the A.J. Brown thing. What made this offense so great was its fluidity, was how it just, it had a nice spread, a nice mix. It was like some good accoutrements for your Thanksgiving, you know, appetizers. And now it seems the issue is so forced. You're not going to rush the ball for 2,000 yards every year. I understand that. But you should be rushing the ball for 1,500 yards every year if you're Saquon Barkley. And the fact that you are dropping off this far, you can't tell me that's we're missing Jason Kelce or we're missing an offensive line. No, dude, that's schematic. And I know I sit here and scream from the heavens that they miss Kellen Moore. They miss a warm body calling plays right now. Because right now it's like, I don't know, Jalen, what do you think we should do? Is what it feels like to me.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Jalen bail us out. And I'll tell you what, if that's what you want your offense to be, good luck.
You are in big trouble. And I'm not a Jalen Hurts hater. I'm really not.
I am.
I've really come around to him. I think he is an extremely athletic, great game manager. And I think we've dispelled that negative context around that word, that phrase of game manager. And we've kind of proven, you know, Tom Brady is the greatest game manager of all time. We've kind of proven that you can win a lot of football games and be very, very successful being a game manager. And he's a freak athlete, too. You throw in the tush push. You throw in just his, you know, escapability, his elusiveness. And I think Jalen Hurts is, you know, top 10, maybe top 15 quarterback in the NFL. I think you can win a lot of games with him. But you're right. You want to go tell Josh Allen I need you to win this game? He can do that.
I don't
know if you want to ask Jalen Hurts to do that. You can ask Patty Mahomes to do that. I don't know if you want to ask Jalen Hurts, and it feels like that's where they're going right now.
Well, for the sake of, not completely biased, A.J. Brown did finish with 8 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown in the last game, but again, watching that game, it felt very forced, and let's feed him. And the last couple games, over the last 2 games, he has 15 catches. But I feel like it's kind of gotten to the point with him and that team where it's like, okay, we didn't trade you. You're on this team. And before things get even worse with this relationship, let's start feeding him a little bit more. But as we've seen after this week, and if you want to talk about them putting up 21 points right away, that's the best offensive game that they've had in weeks, So let's, you know, what was it, 10 points against Green Bay and 16 against the Lions. So they haven't had a good offensive game in a few weeks. And if you want to consider this a good offensive game, then go for it. I guess it's good in Philly standards.
On Friday, they will take on the Chicago Bears. They will be at home to take on the Bears. And look, I have been extremely critical of the Bears on this program. Their best win is, no offense, Casey, your Steelers in a tight game. And the Steelers have kind of come back to earth a little bit, although that defense is playing a little nicer. The Bears' wins are Cowboys, Raiders, Commanders, Saints, Bengals, Giants, Vikings. Like, those teams are ass. And I might take the Bears to beat the Eagles this weekend. And I don't think the Bears are a good team, in my opinion. I think they've beat the teams they should have beat. And outside of J.J. McCarthy being Superman on the first game of the season, like, they should have another win. And their losses would only be the Ravens and the Lions, which are respectable losses, even though Baltimore's kind of down this year. I don't believe in this Bears team at all. But, boy, you ask me who you got, Bears or Eagles? Like, are the Eagles up 35-0 at halftime? Because if they're not, I don't know. Because anything can happen in the second half against the Eagles. Anything.
Well, and anything can happen in the fourth quarter against the Bears. That's what they've shown this year, is that they have, like, was it 5 fourth quarter comebacks this year alone? They're one of the better teams.
They're the Commanders this year.
Yeah, they're one of the better teams in one possession games this year, which, honestly, that is how the NFL goes year to year. It's like, if you are in the playoffs or missing the playoffs, or you went last year and didn't go this year, it's usually because you performed in one possession games, and then the next year you don't, or the next year you do, you know? So that's what the Bears are doing, is they're making late game comebacks or holding off teams from making comebacks at the very end. I mean, their last 4 games are all by 5 points against the Bengals, which took a miracle to win that. A comeback against the Giants.
Should have lost. If Jackson Dart doesn't go out, they lose that game, I think.
They did their best to lose to the Vikings as well. They let the Vikings back in that game last minute. And then last week against the Steelers as well. They are escaping by the skin of their teeth. And as much as I would love to jump on with you as far as Bears beating them this weekend, the Bears are fortunate to be where they are.
Agreed.
And this could be one of those moments where the Eagles look at themselves and be like, we need to rectify this and fix this now. They kind of started to figure it out a little bit last week, but then the Dallas defense, give them credit. They showed up and they bowed their back when they needed to, and they were making a lot of ugly, dumb mistakes early in the game that were giving the Eagles opportunities that they might not have otherwise should have had. So
I'm with you. I think the Bears are bad and they should lose this game.
They're a 7-point dog. They're a pretty big favorite. The Eagles
but
are.
But if Philly goes out there and does squadouche again in the second half, don't be shocked if this is another one of those Bears let them back in and should have lost that game but ended up winning that game.
It'll be a very intriguing game. And I think that the Bears, what they're going through right now is somewhat of what we saw with the Patriots, where it's like, okay, where's your marquee win? Where is the prove it factor with you? Because the best team you've played this year are the Lions, and you gave up 52 points to them. The second best team you played this year are the Ravens, and you lost 30-16. Your third best team that you played, I guess, is the Steelers, and you did win that game last week, but by a thin margin, and people are starting to sell their stock on the Steelers. So the Bears are looking at this one as like, hey, this is going to be a tough game. It's against the defending champ. But if they need a marquee win and to prove people that they are who their record states they are, 8-3 and first in the NFC North, they need to win this game.
Especially because what they got coming down the pile. This is them at Eagles, at Packers.
It's tough.
Home against the Browns, at Packers, at Niners, home against Lions. That is woof.
All teams that are in the playoff race, and even though the Browns aren't, you got to face Myles Garrett.
Dude, that defense is nasty.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
To where the Eagles, if they lose this, they can skate a little bit. They have Chargers, Raiders, Commies, Bills, Commies for the rest of the season. All right, closing arguments is next. We'll wrap it up, send you on your way on a turkey edition of the Firm of Harris and Marang. Joe Fisher filling in, Patrick Harris here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.